if we can move like the early church moved, where people saw how on fire we were and that we actually stand on this, but then they saw us live it, and instead of it being a brand-oriented religion, it's, this is a lifestyle. Welcome to the place you can actually find freedom. That's what the music on Stonebrook is about. New album, The Stonebrook Project, is about that. It's my personal journey that I want the listener to embark on as well. It's just like, how do I get out of the way and stand in the life that I've been given and then find solutions to Jesus? I think every generation is capable of reaching this generation for Jesus. I think it starts with leading in love and doing what he actually said. I mean, it's really simple, though, because I was thinking about it the other day. Man, how do I get this message across? And I'm reading the word. I'm like, he literally tells us how to love people, how to serve people, how to represent him, how to be in the world but not of it. And I think they just need to see more of that, because the negative voices are pretty loud. They see a lot of misrepresentation of Jesus, and they also see a lot of really loud negativity. And there needs to be some love that's loud.
Welcome to episode 130 of the NRT Now podcast. I'm your host, Jake. And if this is your first time with us, just want to wish you a very warm welcome. Or if you've been with us for a while, just want to say thanks for spending some more time with us here. And if you haven't already, make sure that you are subscribed, following, whatever that looks like on your favorite podcast platform, so you know when more episodes are coming out. So our guest for this episode is Zonti, and he came out, just made a splash in the Christian hip-hop scene, or the CHH scene, when he was just 17 years old. And so, side story, I was at a Newsboys concert recently, and Michael Tate was talking to some of the kids, and he was saying, hey, you're our next generation, and just please take care of us, something to that effect. And man, just, this is my first time being able to chat with Zonti, and just listening to just how on fire he is for reaching his generation, the Gen Zers, the, you know, early 20-something. Man, it just really gives me hope for our future. It's just so incredible to hear his fire and his passion for reaching his generation for Jesus. So I'm excited to share this conversation with you. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Zonti. We're here with the one and only Zonti. Man, Zonti, just so glad that you're here with us. Get to hang out for a little while, man. This is going to be awesome, I think.
Yes, sir. I'm super grateful to be here, bro. Thank you so much for having me.
I think the last time I've connected with you or saw a Zonti show, it was either one of two things, and I'm not 100% sure which came where, but I saw you at Winter Jam not long ago, and then I think it was the Casting Crowns tour with Zach Williams and Austin French.
Yeah.
I don't remember. This might be a chicken and egg conversation. I'm not sure which came first, but whichever it is, it's been way too long.
Yeah, for real, bro. I remember 2019, we were on the Crowns tour, and then 2020, until COVID hit, we were on Winter Jam. So either way, that is too long ago, bro. We got to come to Dallas. Even if I got to set up a show in your yard, bro, let's run it. Like, we got to get you to a concert again, man.
Hey, I'm in for it. That's right. The Crowns tour. I think it was the last show, of last stop of that tour. You were with Austin French, Zach Williams, Crowns, I think, was all on that tour.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look back and see if I have the photo with you beforehand with a pre-show, but I think it was during your set, Austin French and his drummer Josh at the time. I think it was tour prank night, and they came out all zontied up. They tried to be zonti. It was the triplets. I'm not sure if Austin and Josh quite had the zonti vibe, but they made a good effort at it.
Dude, I remember that. Like, now you're saying that, I hadn't remembered that until you said it. But like, bro, it was so funny because nobody told me that was going to happen. And I turned around and they were there. And I was like, they were the homies. Like, we got to spend a lot of time together on that tour. So I was excited that they were up there, and we just turned up. It was fun. The last show of that tour, I guess it's a tradition for them to do tour pranks. They were like in people's in-ears saying crazy stuff, trying to get into laughter in their songs. It's funny.
That one was also kind of special because as Austin was coming up and his debut album and stuff, you did a verse on Born Again. Up until that point, every show that I've seen of his, it was missing something. And on that tour, finally, that song had all the components. It wasn't missing a thing. So it was super special to be able to see that song performed the way it was supposed to be.
Yeah, bro. No, 100%. That song was definitely a cool part of my life, just getting to work on that with him. And Yeah, I definitely, I mean, I'm biased, but I love the version that I'm on. It's always fun. Fun hearing that and doing it live was super cool. That was my first arena tour going out there with Crowns, and I learned so much. It was a crazy experience. And just all, 30 of those shows, and then we did the West Coast run. Like, it really helped me build who I am for road life and for touring. It was like a master class in, all right, how do you tour?
So then it was the Crowns and then the Winter Jam. So we figured out the order.
Because
I remember I saw you guys in Oklahoma City that year. And it was just such a crazy ride. We did the We Loves, and I was there at the live show in Memphis, I think on that Tuesday. And then we drove up to Oklahoma City that Friday, Saturday. It was like a whole whirlwind. And then I think 2 weeks later, that's when the world just shut down.
We found out about it because we were in Winter Jam. We were on the bus. And they were taking a while with the venue, where the venue, it was the only, I think it was one of maybe two churches that won that tour, the Retro Arenas, but this was like a massive church. It's the biggest one I've ever seen. They were taking a while to figure some stuff out. And we were all waiting on the bus longer than usual. Then kind of the news started to go around the camp that I was like, all right, this show got shut down. And we're like, oh, well, okay, that's the last show to run. Or there's like one more thing, so we're just going to head home. And so we're all like, oh, okay. We're driving back and we get a text from the tour. Hey, the rest of the tour is canceled. Mm-hmm. Oh, like that's, we knew it was serious when we woke up and got off the bunks in the morning and they said the NBA is canceled for the rest of the year. Oh. Like, oh shoot. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Just such a crazy, and there's just so much life that's happened, and there's so much that's happened in our culture, so much that's happened in our country in the last 2 years. And one thing that I didn't realize until I like to go look, you know, some of the basic stats. And of course, birthdays always pop up first thing. And I'm like, holy cow, this kid is a kid. This is ridiculous. Like, yeah, I'm getting old and I'm getting to the point where, saying that somebody's 23 is a kid, and it hurts. It hurts so bad. But it's just amazing to see from, you know, just the young and just how much of a splash you've been able to make in the CHH.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty amazing to see what you've done so far.
I'm so grateful. I strongly believe that God can use anyone, and I'm grateful that he chooses to use me. I did start when I was about 17, bro. Like, that's when I first dropped God Taught Me. And I've been kind of in this game learning and creating and building a team and all that stuff since 2017.
Being on the younger side, I mean, there's so much within, you know, kind of the hip-hop genre, if we put a whole blanket over it, that's just, you know, pretty unhealthy sometimes. From that younger perspective, what stamp are you trying to put in not only the hip hop culture, but just in culture altogether?
I want to make music people want with the message that they need. That was the vision that I had in mind when I started this, you know, fresh out of high school. I believed that over time I could create music that was relevant to people's lives, that was excellent, that represented Jesus, whether it serviced believers, whether it serviced the world. That's been the push. And I feel like keeping that consistent, being the Jesus guy, but having high art is the goal. And we take that anywhere. You know, we can go do show clubs. We can go do show the church. And that's the goal, is that for it to translate. And even things that we have on our calendar coming up artistically, we're just so important. I learned that early on that, like, okay, the sound and the messaging, people will listen to the messaging if you earn their trust with the sound and with the way that it looks and the way that it feels. And it's been a journey of figuring it out. I mean, I've worked with some teams. I went through a whole season where I was working with the team, and the aesthetic and the look and the sound changed from what I felt like the vision was, you know, but even that helped me value the creative direction and freedom I have now to make exactly what I feel called to make. And it's an evolution, always. It's a process. I love saying I make music people want with the message that they need, because that's never reached. You can always make more music, and you can always get more creative, and you can always reach more people. So it's fun, because it's like, until God says, all right, you're done, I'm going to keep creating in that vein.
So pulling out the message that we need to hear kind of thread, I just want to hear a little bit more from your generation's kind of perspective. I mean, what is that message that needs to be heard?
Bro, Gen Z needs Jesus. We're tired of people beating around the bush. We want movements to belong to, bro. That's the thing I've noticed. Our generation is more movement oriented than any other generation that I've seen recently. Like, you know, the youth group strategy used to kind of be along the lines of, well, you got to have pizza and you got to have games. And like right now, we're actually, I'm seeing more and more people get on fire for different movements. Belonging to something is essential. And the way that we bring Jesus, the reason why it's on my chest, I'm not trying to hide this message. Authenticity is culture currency. If I can be real and just say, look, this is what I believe. This is how it's going to help you. This is how you live the lifestyle. This is who I follow. I trust you to make that decision. And the people who want it will be the good soil where the seed, you know, bears fruit, the people who need it. I feel like that boldness has gone a long way for us. I think that's the reason why we have such an engaged fan base, because people come here feeling like they can belong to something. It's not because of anything that I've done that, you know, sets it apart. It's because of the presence of God and what we do due to us rallying to a cause. Our phrase that I say every show on, you know, Instagram Lives or whatever is, the world will know the God we follow. Yep. That's inspired by Reinhard Bonnke saying, Africa shall be saved. It's like, for me, it's like, we will get to the entire globe for this gospel by reaching the right people with this message. And I feel like that's what my generation needs. That's what they're looking for. That's, you know, the music they want, that's easy. The artistic side is, you know, is God-led. It's throne room music. We're in his presence and we get the creativity. But the way that we give them what they need is being very clear and then actually living it, being authentic, so that they can see. I have guys come up to me all the time who are like 14, 15 at these shows, and they're like, it's exciting for me to have somebody to watch live it out so that I feel like I can do it too. That's what I needed. And I didn't see any artists who were doing that at the time who felt like they were close to my age and I could relate to and were living the way I wanted to live for Jesus. So I'm being what younger me would have needed.
Not to go like over political on this, but just to kind of set the stage here. I mean, we're recording this just after we went through an election cycle and all the junk that goes through all that kind of stuff. And I think one of the things that has been really prevalent, not only in the 2020 election cycle, this election cycle, but like just overall what we've seen is just join our team. You know, there's a lot more of belonging to something, join this team, be a part of this, just more that mentality than anything. And
long for movements, bro. This society wants a movement to be a part of.
Yep. And it's not always about the message and the ideas. It's just about finding that team. So not to pick sides, but I mean, we just see this totally amplified just as a recent example. So how do we do that with the Gen Zers? And I guess, you know, maybe even from your perspective, even some of us old farts, how do we pull this? I know you're thinking it. I saw it. But no, but no, how do we kind of break out of that? And how do we pull people into the Jesus movement and to be a follower as opposed to just finding whatever club or place to belong to or ideology to belong to or whatever that is?
I've been thinking about this a lot because it's kind of the core of what I do. I made a decision about a year ago that I don't want to just be an artist. I don't want to just put out music. I want to lead a movement through my life. I feel like the way that we reach this generation for Jesus is to live it. I think they're sick and tired of pastors who tell them what to do and then don't live the lifestyle, or some scandal or some hypocrisy that comes out. I think they're sick and tired of people who are judgment oriented, who are judgmental and hateful or standoffish, but then don't offer solutions. I think they're just as tired of a degenerate society that tells them that their depression is always going to be part of them, or that anxiety is permanent. Religion doesn't love us, but society doesn't love us either. Jesus loves us, and through us, the world needs to feel like people love them too. And that's where I've seen the most success in ministry. Anytime I've actually reached somebody, whether it's in my personal life or whether it's on a stage or whether it's at an event, is if I can just communicate the authentic love of God because of how I respond, how I act. If we can move like the early church moved, where people saw how on fire we were and that we actually stand on this, but then they saw us live it. And instead of it being a brand-oriented religion, it's, this is a lifestyle. Welcome to the place you can actually find freedom. That's what the music on Stonebrook is about. A new album, The Stonebrook Project, is about that. It's my personal journey that I want the listener to embark on as well. It's just like, how do I get out of the way and stand in the life that I've been given and then find solutions to Jesus? I think every generation is capable of reaching this generation for Jesus. I think it starts with leading in love and doing what he actually said. I mean, it's really simple, though, because I was thinking about it the other day. Man, how do I get this message across? And I'm reading the word. I'm like, he literally tells us how to love people, how to serve people. how to represent him, how to be in the world but not of it. And I think they just need to see more of that, because the negative voices are pretty loud. They see a lot of misrepresentation of Jesus, and they also see a lot of really loud negativity. And there needs to be some love that's loud.
One of the questions that I've been pondering is, you're talking about this, and I guess it's something that I haven't really thought about that I have been pondering is, you know, as we're talking about being examples and as we're talking about living this life and all that, I mean, the part that crops up is that we're not perfect. And there's always going to be junk that happens. There's always going to be hypocrisy. There's always going to be some things that happen there. And so how do we work through that? I mean, this is one of those tough questions that I don't know the answers to, and I don't. And I think that has to be a journey of, you know, how do we be imperfect, but still lead the example and allow for room for that, not only in the church and in the cancel culture as well.
Yeah. I feel like we need to redefine sin as society. We need to tell people what it is. It's doing something that rewards you right away and hurts you in the long run. And if you think about it, that's what it really boils down to. God is not judging you because he wants to punish you for a power trip. He's telling you, this rewards you right now, but I can see where it's going to hurt you in the future. He loves you desperately, right? And if I can help people understand that, it changes everything. Because when I tell people that, it's their whole, you know, they're growing up, the whole perception is like, God just want to judge me. And I got to be perfect. And I don't want to be perfect. Or this is so much part of my identity that I got to step away. No, God will meet you where you're at. You don't get right to go to him. You go to him to get right. Find Jesus and that relationship with him. Everything else will fall into place. He'll show you through his word and through conviction what needs to change. Like, I know people with testimonies, bro, like they get saved and they be praying over their weed before they smoke it until they got the conviction. You know what? I need to give this up. God loves that so much more than the Pharisee, right? Yeah. The tax collector who might not have it all figured out, but they've got the idea. You know, somebody like myself who grew up knowing who God is and knowing the power of the gospel, I really sometimes struggle with shame when I mess up. I'm like, man, I should have known better. I got to get better. I got to fix it. And a lot of people who are believers get into that place of, oh, I'm not good enough. And I deserve to like feel this because I should have known better. But even that, bro, you're saying Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough. And I think the thing that I hate the most is when people who follow Jesus present Christianity like Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough. Like people at the bottom of their brokenness and the most messed up that they can get is too far for God. That's garbage. That's not the case. Yeshua died on the cross for every single individual, no matter what lifestyle they live, no matter what they've done, no matter what they've been through, no matter what they struggle with. That desire for perfection comes from our human element. Like, that's not what God asks for. He just asks for closeness. All the other stuff falls into place afterwards. I think that's something that we need to like demonstrate so that people can understand that it's like you said, you don't have to be perfect. That's not the requirement to get close to God. Cause otherwise you'll spend your whole life trying to like, oh, I'll clean it up and then I'll talk to him tomorrow. I'll clean up and you know, I'll get there. And then you never have a relationship with your Father in heaven because you're trying so hard to fix it when he's the one who's supposed to fix it.
So, and you're talking about a lot of this theme comes through your new project here. And this was kind of like the central theme, the central thread. As you're going through the writing process and this recording process and all that, which one of these songs kind of came out of nowhere and kind of smacked you a little bit of like, hey, I need to pay a little bit more attention to this.
Dude. Well, in life, Move Me was one of those. There's a song near the end of the album called Move Me. It's been my prayer. Move me out of the way. I'm lost in the pain I've been causing myself because I didn't want your help. But after all these years, even when I ran, you're still right here. Every time I cried, you dried my tears. I take my plans, put them in your hands. That's the chorus from that song. But that's my prayer before I go on stage, before I go into a podcast, before I go into an interview, before I start a conversation, before I start my day. It's like, all right, God, move me out of the way so that you can lead. I feel like the one that really caught my attention, there's two, Oxygen and Jesus Called My Name. I don't think I realized how much of an impact they were going to have with people. I knew they were like, oh, shoot, this song is powerful. This is big. But starting to see and hear and feel some of the responses from those two songs blows my mind. It's like, whoa, there are people who really need this music. And they're really, like, they're living life to it. It's funny, I had a homie of mine who, like I said, he's trying to get closer to God, but, like, you watch his Instagram story and he's got, you know, like a bunch of drugs in one slide, right? And then the next slide is Jesus called my name and he calls me. He's like, dude, I've watched this 5 times. I don't know what it is. I just love the way I feel when I hear this. And it's like, that's what we're supposed to be doing, bro, is bringing like Jesus to the world through this music in a way that they can understand, like, oh, there's something different. Like, they should want what we have because of how we live it. I think those are the two songs that really like caught my attention. The intro, Let Your Fire Fall, though, that's my favorite one. Because at live concerts, when we play it, and there's a part where it's like, let your fire fall, you hear an audible, like, oh, shoot, like, in the audience. Like, they feel it, because it's, like, God's presence shows up, and the beat comes in, and it's hard. So, I don't know, bro. I love the whole album. It's inspired me to keep creating more and more music, just creating that kind of music that's, like, authentic, and it's not forced.
And one of the things I love about Zonti music is just the variety that's within a full album. I mean, you have some acoustic guitar here and there. You have, I think it was the previous album, if I can pull back to that just a little bit, or some previous singles that here have that heavy rock guitar, almost like metal feel. You know, and then you have your traditional CHH. I mean, it's like all over the place, and I love it. I just love the variety of sounds that go into Zonti music.
Oh, well, I mean, thank you, first of all. Second of all, I mean, that's something I was, you know, I was thinking about with this album, because we've got like an Afrobeat song, we've got like a rock song, we've got like, you know, more like hip hop stuff, of course, and we've got worship and gospel stuff, like we got some experimental stuff. And I think at first I was like, well, does it have to confine to one sound for the cohesive element? And I was like, well, why would I do that? What would be the reason? The only reason would be out of fear if like people wouldn't understand, or they would like not be able to put it in a category. I was like, well, all this music is like, this is what happened naturally when I was in God's presence. Some people are going to hate it. Some people are going to love it. It's funny, you watch the reaction videos on YouTube and, you know, there's some people who are like, yo, this is the best stuff I've ever heard. There's other people who are like, I don't get it. Why, you know, it's like, funny story, because you're talking about the variety of the music, right? There's this song called Rocks Cry Out on the album, just like more rock leaning. Mm-hmm. It's one of the ones where I was like, I don't know, bro. Like, there's a lot of people who are not going to get this, but it's not going to be the thing. And I'm at this show and I was going to cut it out of the set just because it'd been a long set. And I was like, man, like, let's just wrap up without doing that one, because I don't know if the audience will like get it. And I feel like the Holy Spirit was saying while I was on stage, like, ask that little kid who's known all the lyrics, ask him his favorite song in the front row. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, hey, bro, what's your favorite song? Rocks Crying. Okay. And we did it, you know, but it's like, even in that moment, if this song on that album is only for that little dude, he came up to me after the show and I got it on video. It blows my mind. He's like, hey, Zonti. It's like probably 9 years old. He's like, I follow Jesus because of you.
Oh, man.
That's what else do I need?
You that know? Kicks like, you right in the feelings right there.
Right. Like, I feel that even saying it. It's like, if that song was just for him and nobody else is going to resonate with it, nobody else is going to like it, but he was reached and then he lives a life following God, I did my job. I think that's why I focused so much on the versatility. It's just being spirit led on it. Like, okay, because I know if I make something and you're in it, somebody's going to need this.
I'm one of those kind of guys that just loves variety in general. You know, like, I like mm-hmm. most kinds of music. Country's growing on me a little bit. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but no. I think it, especially on a full album, I think it's easy to drone out. If you're listening from an album from start to finish, I think it's easy to just kind of drone out, and sometimes the songs all blend together. But when you have that little different element,
for sure.
Yeah, it just makes you actually listen to what's going on instead of just kind of droning it out a little bit.
I think that's something that's been a focus for us creatively on the next stuff. It's like Stonebrook was kind of like a tithe. It's like, I'm going to write what's in my heart, the things I've been waiting to say. You know, through the years we didn't have creative direction, or maybe we were waiting for this moment. I'm going to say all the stuff that I need to say. Jesus, call my name, oxygen, move me. Like, I'm pouring out my heart to you, Lord. This album is build me an altar and call it Stonebrook. This album is I'm a living sacrifice. It's called the Stonebrook Project because when God's people crossed into the promised land, they took stones from the brook, built an altar. So the world would know the God they follow. And they would always refer back to it like, look at what he did for us. We remember. Stonebrook is that for me. Everything I've been through so far, God got me here. The next stuff that we're working on, the phrase that keeps coming to mind is just high art. How can we create something that's actually a contribution to art as a whole in the entire world? Like, how can we make something that's not just like, oh, that's dope in Christian hip hop or Christian music? Like, let's shatter genre. Let's shatter the perception of art to the rest of the human population. Make something that's worthy, you know, of the vault of history. And that's very big to think about, especially in this space. But I really believe that if God is the source of creativity, and he had the Israelites making this ornate temple to glorify him, and he had David at the forefront of music and culture, and, you know, even the printing of the Bible has been like, the world's most influential moments all center around him and the story he's telling with humanity. Yeah. So why not our art? And I think the variety in those albums will be continuing to try and push the creative envelope forward. I mean, the stuff that we've been working on, nobody's heard anything like it. It blows my mind. So Stonebrook is already on that path. We're just going to zero in even more, bro. So you'll have some variety on the rest of Zombie's music forever.
I'm here for it. And I know that you guys are like super busy with a whole bunch of stuff, video shoots, new music coming out, man. Tell us about some of the excitement that's coming out from a lot of this. You're talking about the biggest video shoot you guys have done so far.
Yeah, we're literally, I'm flying to LA tonight. The day that we're filming this, I'm flying to LA. I'm going to be filming the video for Oxygen tomorrow. And it's the biggest video production we've ever done. I was on some calls earlier today, like talking to the stylist, talking to the director, talking to the behind the scenes guy. It's crazy to me. Like, my mind is kind of spinning right now because I've dreamed of being a part of stuff like this, but like actually getting to be the talent, the artist, you know, like where they're referring to you, like, yeah, the talent's here and, you know, he's going to get here at this time. It's like, bro, like, this is me. I'm just the guy who was making songs in my bedroom. It's the same feeling you get when you walk out onto a stage in an arena. It's like, this doesn't even feel real. This is crazy. So I've been excited about this for a minute. The risks that we had to take, the vision that we had to cast to make this possible is crazy. And it's finally happening. That's the biggest thing that we're working on, because Oxygen is going to really have a strong push here for the single that the album has releasing with it. But I mean, I've also been excited on making a lot of music, connecting with a lot of people in the music industry. We've been staying in Atlanta for a couple months, and God has done some crazy things out there. I love life, bro, because I try to encourage anybody who has a dream. Like, I get to live out what I wanted to live out. And that proves, like, when I got out of the way and started asking God for his will, I'm living my dream life. And it's far from perfect, bro. There's a lot of struggle, there's a lot of sacrifice, there's a lot of risk. But if God can use me, I promise he can use you. Because there was seasons, years at a time, I'm like, God, why do you still have me here? I'm tired of waiting. I'm like, have you forgotten about your promises? My real name is Zechariah, and it means God remembers. He never forgets what he promised you. So my encouragement, like you're talking about, you know, you stay busy and you got stuff on the horizon. There was a time frame for years at a time where I had nothing. I'm just working regular life, hoping, oh man, I hope this music does something. I hope we can get some kind of momentum. I pray somebody would listen. So let that be an encouragement to anybody listening, that like, if God has given you a calling or a dream, it could start when you're 65, but he still will fulfill it if you continue to trust him. The only way you miss out on your calling is if you give up on having faith. But if it's meant to happen, and if it's his will, it will happen. And I'm living proof of that.
Yeah. And what you're saying with that, some of the like, how the heck am I here kind of stuff. I mean, that's resonated with me a little bit. Like, you get yourself into a spot just by a simple yes, or like,
yeah,
I don't know if I should do this, or, you know, I kind of have this inkling, you know, should I step in or should I not, or whatever. And then all of a sudden you're wherever you're at and you're just like, oh man, I'm doing this. Like, why am I here? I should have no business being here. And it's some of the most powerful feelings, just especially when you don't feel qualified or you don't feel like you should be somewhere, but you said that yes somewhere, or you just followed that feeling, or, you know, sometimes God's nudge comes as a feeling or whatever that looks like. You just say that yes, and then all of a sudden you're somewhere where you can't believe. And it's just an incredible feeling to be in that place that God 100%. Led you to.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, I recently had one of those, like, The Chosen film's just down the road from me here.
Like, oh,
15 what? Minutes from my house.
Bro, that show is amazing, bro.
Isn't it, though?
I love it.
And so I got the opportunity. They built the whole film campus. They built the whole, like, a first century replica. And I got to go out there for the Feeding of the 5,000 when they're filming that. No, I'm not in it, so I didn't get to be an extra. but they also, not long ago, they just cut the ribbon for the facility and did like an opening and dedication and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, just being able to be there and see and just hear from these people who are making a movement, just being able to be one of the few press people that were invited for that and all that. And I'm like, it's what, like what you're saying is like, how am I here? What? Yeah. I have no business being here, but being thankful to be a part of this and, yeah, you know, to just help push in, just tell the story that the Chosen is getting to tell. I mean, it's just without a couple of just yeses or just stepping out in faith kind of thing. Like, it's just incredible to be in some of these moments. It's not ornate. It's not like huge deals, but sometimes it's just that little itty bitty yes that opens a whole ton of doors.
Bro, I'm telling you this, man. It's like, first of all, congratulations. But second of all, it's like, I try to encourage people, like, God is big enough where if you can trust him, he'll put you in the places you're supposed to be in.
Yep.
Like what you're talking about, you couldn't have strategized that and made it happen without his guidance. Like, you couldn't have, like, all right, this is what I'm going to do, and these are all the little things that I'm going to make possible for it, that to be the case. That happens with me all the time. I look up, and I'm in a room with so-and-so, and I'm like, what? Like, I don't know. I still see myself as, like, a regular, like a music fan. Like, I'm just that kid that was making music because I loved it and I wanted to reach somebody. I wanted to be the artist younger me was looking for. And so being in these moments where I'm like, you know, like tomorrow I'll be sitting in a director's chair, you know, with this insane video setup, and it's going to hit me like, wow, like, bro, I used to work, you know, all week and then make music when I had the free time. I used to do the shows with five people. I've done run and gun videos with borrowed cameras and people with no experience. I've had, you know, videos where I've asked for people to show up and no one does. And now I'm here. And it's my vision. I'm directing what the Lord put in my heart. I'm working with world-class individuals who are saved and want to bring the experience they brought from mainstream into the Christian space to glorify our Savior. It's blows my mind, bro. Like, if God wants it to happen, he can open doors nobody can shut. So just have the courage to let go and trust him.
So as we start winding up this episode here, you're talking about just being a music fan, you know, and still having that mindset. Who is your, like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this, like, ultimate fandom? Who's that artist for you?
Yeah. Are you talking about that I've met or that I want to meet?
Both.
Yeah. I feel like it's funny too, because my brain, I'm very, like, I like organizing things into lists and, like, you know, I can tell you my top 25 favorite movies right now. Like, you know, like, I'd have to pull up the list and check, but, like, I know my top fives in a lot of areas. So I feel like for me, I got inspired by different artists at different times, right? Like, different eras. Like, if I had to organize it, it'd be like Toby Mac, then Skillet, then Switchfoot. After that, it was just like Christian hip hop as a whole. And then probably XXXTentacion and Uzi and those guys. And then, like, since, I'm trying to remember what year, but then since then it's been Kanye. And I feel like he's the greatest artist, like, of all time, in my opinion, when you watch what he's done. I believe that God is going to line us up eventually to work on some things, and I'll be able to continue to encourage him, like, hey, this is how we live out following Jesus and making art like that. I believe I'm going to work with him someday. But that's the list. And it's funny because all of those people I've never really gotten to meet. I've gotten to meet incredible. Okay, there's a lot of people that I've been inspired by, though, that I've gotten to meet. Like Mark Hall, that was crazy. It didn't feel real. And we got to hang out, you know, Casting Crowns. Because I grew up on Christian music, bro. Like, I was a pastor's kid, and I was always around this. I feel like God handshaped me for this space because I can appreciate it. I don't have, like, I have a love for it. When we were at the Dove Awards, getting to see Stephen Curtis Chapman perform and Toby perform and, you know, Chris Tomlin and guys like that. And, you know, I love gospel music. I've gotten to meet some of those artists, like, you know, meeting Jonathan McReynolds or Kalante Gavin. Torrin Wells is probably the nicest artist I've ever met. He's awesome, bro. I loved Royal Taylor stuff, and then I was always a Torrin fan as well. Yeah. He's incredible. The first time I got to meet him, he asked to take a picture with me. It blew my mind, bro. I learned from that how to treat other people as an artist. Like, that was, I've never forgotten that, because now anytime there's somebody who's opening for me, it was that show and I was opening up for him and for Crowns. anytime somebody's opening for me, I always treat them with like this respect of like, I'm a fan of you. I'm honored to share a stage with you, because the way that he made me feel is just some opener, you know? That's so awesome.
That sounds like Torin.
I mean, bro, he literally was like, hey man, can I get your number? Could you make sure that you come back? I want to take a picture with you. And I was like, bro, what? Like, I'm used to, you know, the music industry, there's a lot of politics and there's like a lot of people who are very aloof. So seeing guys like him and Mark Hall who are like for the people and just really Jesus-like is cool. Mm-hmm. There's probably artists that I'm not thinking off the top of my head that I've met where it's like, in Christian hip hop, for example, I got to like hanging out with guys like KB and getting to be around what he does and learn from him is crazy. You know, getting to meet all those artists. And then even the OG guys like The Truth and The Ambassador and Flame, like hanging out with them and just like grabbing food and talking and being backstage. It's like me and my bro, iProject, who's the producer who worked on most of this album with me. We were at these moments where we're hanging out with these guys. And it's like, bro, we grew up on this. This is crazy. And we're hanging out with them and they're treating us like we're one of them. It's like, bro, we're not. We're fans. Like, you know? So anytime I'm around Christian music in general, I think God did that on purpose because, you know, I value it, but I also believe it could go so much further than it's even going now. And I believe that I could play a role in helping the next wave of Christian artists see even bigger and how we can push the message of Jesus through this music. I know that's a long answer, yeah. But I'm a fan.
No, I love it.
And I love having that perspective, you know, because it helps me create better.
Yeah. Well, I have a Mark Hall story. And I want to see if this lines up with your experiences. So way back, I want to say it's been 10, 12 years ago now. It has to be more than 10 years ago. Anyway, they were in town at the smaller town that I was living at the time. A buddy of mine was a runner for the tour. And so catch up at the mall for some reason. I was at the mall grabbing lunch or whatever. And, you know, so running in, just talking with him. He's like, hey, do you want to meet Mark? And I was like, sure, you know, whatever. And so just keep chatting. Yeah. I mean, he does this a couple times through this all. And I'm like, what the heck is with this Mark deal? Like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, why are you, do you want me to meet Mark so bad? Like, who is this guy? And realize that he's running for the show. He's like, no, Mark Hall from Casting Crowns.
You're like, oh, like,
I mean, and so what happened was that it was a October day in the middle of Wyoming. So the seasons changed like nothing there. And so it turned cold. They're all from Georgia. So they had to go get coats for the crew and stuff to keep warm. And so he's just sitting there chilling, just like any other dude, just sitting in the store. Like if he wouldn't have been saying like, hey, you need to meet Mark, or do you want to meet Mark? I would have never known that was Mark from Casting Crowns. Like that switch wouldn't have clicked. But
That's cool.
He had this whole thing about like, you've got to meet Mark.
And then look, bro, I'll tell you this. Mark Hall is probably the best example that I've ever had that I learned from how to treat people as an artist who actually has a platform. Cause like when I was out on tour with them, I had fans, but like I didn't have the platform I have today. And Mark is so much further along. And I mean, dude, he's shaped so much of Christian music. His humility is incredible. I saw him walk into catering and where the smaller artists or even other people in the room are always like kind of doing this, looking around for like who they could network with or who's, you know, the big person, or, you know, there's some artists I've seen who are more like kind of reserved and clicked off. Like, oh, you know, you're not good enough to talk to me energy. He was like, who's taking out the garbage? Who's the catering person? Who's security for the night? And he's finding these people. And just like, I saw this one, it was really cool, dude. This one security guard, I didn't even get his name, but I'll just never forget his energy. He and I were talking because I've been learning from Mark, like make time for the people who make this possible. And so I was just talking to him. He was so excited, bro. Like literally like couldn't control how excited he was. He was like, Mark Hall came up to me earlier, man. And I listened to all their music and he hung out with me. He asked me questions. We took a picture. Like he was so excited. But it's like he said, I've done events for like 20 years. And the headliner came over to me and talked to me. That never happens. Because like he's working security backstage at the show. He's been here for decades. He's worked this venue and he's the headliner, the guy who's on stage in front of the 30,000 at the end of the night is talking to him, thanking him for his time. And that's exactly like, that's why that mall story with Mark, he's just low key. He's just a regular guy. And he would go to the mall a lot during tour, and him and his daughters would go, and he'd just go hang out. He'd come back with souvenirs. Like, I want to be like that. I feel like that's what Jesus was like. Like, he's the most influential person in history. That's why I love The Chosen, but he just feels so relational. You know, he feels so real. I'm trying to do that. I don't have that size of a platform yet, but I believe that God will bring it if we continue to be faithful with it when we have it. It's like, be faithful with little, so you can be faithful with much. I want to hang out with the people who nobody else is hanging out with, because I was that guy. I was the scared person at the artist conference in Tampa, where I'm like, oh shoot, there's all these artists here, and how do I network? Who do I talk to? But like, I got, like, the ambassador came over and prayed for me, right? Mm-hmm. And I was just a fan. Andy Mineo, I got to tour with him. He prayed for me in a VIP line.
Oh, wow.
When I came as a fan. And he was like, he was kind. He heard my story and he prayed for me in VIP. I was the only person he ended up praying with at VIP. When I met him as like a professional, and we're touring together, and we're sharing locker rooms and green rooms, and we're hanging out on, you know, in catering and buses and stuff, to be able to like say, you know, when I was nobody, you were kind to me. You prayed for me. You said that you believed in me. You encouraged me. That's such a cool thing, bro. I would love to do that. I got to do that with this young dude who's been interning for us. He grew up, you know, as a super fan. And I found out more when he started working with our team. And he's just like, bro, like, you inspired me to live the way I live. And now he's working for us, and he gets to, like, my hope in prayer is that he sees consistency. You know, there's not disappointment. I want him to see Jesus with us when he's out there and he's on the road, and he sees, you know, he's working with the team and he sees me living life. I want him to see consistency the way that I did with guys like Mark, guys like Torin. And I know that's a long answer, bro, but like, that's what I'm super passionate about. It's like bringing Jesus to people. And how do we do that? Well, we're real people that aren't perfect, but we have Jesus. That's it.
Being faithful with a little. Now you have the Oxygen video that's coming out. That's huge. You know, and I don't think that we can end this podcast any better than just how you landed that right there. So I think that landed, can't do any better. I think we just have to say we're excited, and man, yeah, just bro. Appreciate you spending the time with us.
I'm super grateful to be here. Thank you for your time. I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation, bro. I love it. I'm a fan of what y'all are doing. I'll keep supporting any way I can. I know that we'll definitely have another conversation sometime soon. And the Stoneberg Project is out now everywhere for people who are wondering about the songs we're talking about. Remember that this is a movement that we have to live day in and day out. Like I just said, we got to go be Jesus to the people who need him. The world will know the God we follow.